Hey, happy Mother's Day, all you moms out there. Happy Mother's Day. Online, all you moms, happy Mother's Day to you. In all of our venues, we say welcome. I'm Dave, if we've not met. Hi, good morning. Hey, you can grab a Bible if you have one. Acts chapter 3 is where we're going to be. And there's a phrase, I overuse it. And the phrase is life-changing. I use that phrase all the time. You know what I use that phrase to talk about? I use that phrase to talk about donuts. A couple weeks ago, I was out in Colorado, and I had a life-changing donut. If you've not been to Pops, they didn't pay me to say this. Maybe they will later. Pops off of North Shore and had an apple fritter, it will change your life. They're the best. I encourage you, after this, go try it for yourself, right? That's how I use the phrase life-changing. It's kind of like we talk about things that we love, right? I love this. I love that. Well, do I really love it? Not so much. Will it change my life? Will an apple fritter from Pops change my life? Yeah, it'll make me fatter. That's it. That's all. But when it comes to life-changing kind of moments, becoming a parent is an actual life-changing moment. And giving birth to a baby is an actual life-changing moment. And for those moms and out there who've been through that process, they'll tell you that's a life-changing moment. And for women and men out there who wanted to be parents and couldn't have kids, that's also a life-changing moment. It changes the trajectory of your life. It changes your values. It changes the things that you give yourself to. But As we get going this weekend, there's something that, guys, we got to stop doing this, right? We got to stop taking credit for something that just isn't us. There's a trend. It's like super popular right now. When you talk about being pregnant as a couple, we say what? We're pregnant. Saw a picture the other day online, social media, holding up a sign that said, we're pregnant. There's no we're in that. She's pregnant, and we're so excited. You're like, yeah, but we're one. Yes, in the biblical sense, we're one, right? One flesh, it's we every step of the way. But there's something special about being a mom. Giving birth to a baby changes the trajectory of life. And there's also something that's special about being dad. We talk about that in June. All that to say is, life-changing moments change our story, and it changes what we talk about. And if you want to get a mom talking, all you got to do is tell me about your kids. Tell me about your kids. And then as they get talking, just ask them questions about their kids, and they'll just keep talking and talking and talking. And as you get closer in relationship, they'll actually tell you the real story. As you get closer in relationship, they'll tell you, like, yeah, my kids are awesome until they're not. My kids are great, except they're driving me crazy right now. Ultimately, what happens is in the midst of all that change, it changes our values. It changes what we give our lives to. It changes what a mom, how she spends her time and energy, how she spends her money, how she invests her life. It's changed by that life-altering moment. This series that we've been in, the book of Acts, is about values, about what it looks like as we've experienced the life change that Jesus gives, as we've experienced the life-changing moment of encountering a risen Jesus as he moves us from death to life. We get a new set of priorities. We get a new set of values. We've defined it this way, that we become a people who build our lives upon the gospel. We build our lives upon God's word, that as we're empowered by God's spirit, as we're connected to other people who are following Jesus and introducing people to following Jesus. That's what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus. And if that's my story, I have to remind myself that Jesus changing my normal is a story worth telling. Moving from the old normal to the new normal is a story worth telling. We're going to pick up in Acts chapter 3. Last week when we left off in Acts chapter 2, there was a transition in Acts chapter 2, verses 42 through 47, really formed this picture of what the community faith looked like. And then we pick up here in Acts chapter 3 where it says, now Peter and John were going up to the temple at the hour of prayer, the ninth hour. And a man lame from birth was being carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple that is called the Beautiful Gate to ask alms of those entering the temple. Seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, he asked to receive alms. And Peter directed his gaze at him, as did John, and said, "Look at us." And he fixed his attention on them, expecting to receive something from them. But Peter said, "I have no silver and gold, but what I do have, I give to you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk." And he took him by the right hand and raised him up, and immediately his feet and ankles were made strong. And leaping, he stood and began to walk and entered the temple with them, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God and recognized him as the one who sat at the beautiful gate of the temple asking for alms. And they were filled with wonder and amazement at what had happened to him. While he clung to Peter and John, all the people, utterly astounded, ran together to them in the portico called Solomon's. Here's the first principle we observe this weekend. That is, Jesus changes lives, right? Transforming our normal. This guy went from an old normal. His old normal was what? He was utterly helpless. Utterly helpless. They carried him outside the temple and they laid him there so that he could beg. That was his story. And as people went in and out, he would ask for money. "Hey, you're going to worship God. Maybe you could give me something along the way. Maybe you could help me out along the way." And as we look at this story, often what happens is we look at this and go, okay, God did that for that guy, but has he really ever done such a thing for me? And we're like, wow, this is amazing, because it really was a miraculous event. What happened? We're gonna see next week, later on in chapter 4, we get more of this guy's story. He was a 40-year-old guy who had never walked. Imagine the atrophy in his muscles. And Luke wants us to know here that in a moment, what happened? He grew muscle, he grew tendons. He went from atrophy to full strength, enough that he was able to leap and praise God. In a moment, his life was changed. And we go, wow, that's amazing. I wish that would happen to me. And what we forget when we do that is, we forget that our story is actually more profound than this guy's story. You're like, what? The supernatural act of God taking us from spiritual death to spiritual life is more profound than him taking this guy who's on the side of the road and having him stand up fully healed. And often we discount that. We're like, well, that is mine. Yes. Spending forever with God, spending forever in God's presence is the goal of life, right? That we would be people who are worshipers of God forever. That's why he made us. And when that relationship is restored, that's an incredible story. Now with that, the scriptures record God's miraculous events. And they're part of our story. Part of our faith legacy is this event that happened in the book of Acts. We can point back to that and go, wow, that's an amazing thing that happened. Like God in a moment has poured out his power so that what? The people were blown away. They couldn't believe it. They knew that guy. I see that guy all the time. I've seen that guy for years. How can he possibly be on his feet and praising God? And so Peter goes what? He does what? He goes straight to preaching. That's what Peter does. And when Peter saw it, he addressed the people, "Men of Israel, why do you wonder at this? Or why do you stare at us as though by our own power or piety, we have made him walk? The God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob, the God of our fathers, glorified his servant Jesus, whom you delivered over and denied in the presence of Pilate when he decided to release him. But you denied the holy and righteous one and asked for a murderer to be granted to you. And you, and you killed, excuse me, and you killed the author of life, whom God raised from the dead. To this, we are witnesses. And by his name, by faith in his name, has made this man strong, whom you see and know. And the faith that is through Jesus has given the man this perfect health in the presence of you all." You saw this miracle happen and you think we did it. You think it's because we're either powerful people or we're good people, and we're neither. We're Galileans. We're trash. But here's the thing. We know the God of the Bible, and what he has done is he gave you a savior, and they immediately connect this to the scriptures. They're immediately connecting this to God's story, saying, okay, here's what happened. Jesus, whom you killed, Jesus, who was sent to be your Messiah, who you decided to kill, has changed this man's life. You see, the gospel is not just life-changing news, it's life-altering news. So often we overuse the phrase life-changing so much that we lose that it actually means that it would change the trajectory of our lives. We were going this way, and now we're going that way. Why? Because we've encountered Jesus. That's our story, or at least it's supposed to be our story. But not just when we gave our lives to Jesus, like this ongoing following Jesus. There's life-altering events along the way because Jesus is leading us and guiding us and directing us along the way. I think back in part of my family's story is moving here to East Tennessee. And this week I was able to think back and go, okay, well, how did God do that? How did that all work together? And I remember it happened in a car with a dude by the name of Todd Michelson and driving from Illinois to Tennessee to go to this prayer gathering that a church there was having. And there was actually a citywide prayer gathering the day before. And then we're going to pray with this church there in East Tennessee. And in the midst of all of that, God did something profound. All of a sudden, something that was never on my radar before became something that was on my radar. And 10 months later, my family moved from Illinois to East Tennessee. And that changed the trajectory of my life. But it didn't just change the trajectory of my life. It changed the trajectory of my wife's life. And it changed radically the trajectory of my kids' lives. Changed. Why? Because of a course alteration, because there was an adjustment along the way, because God called us to something new in a new place at a new time. And it's actually impacting you too. Like it's bleeding all over you right now. God does that. And it's not just in those kind of life moments. It's in the midst of God reaching in and giving us new life and transitioning our lives from the old normal to the new normal. I was once dead, but now I'm alive. I was once blind, but now I see. That's our story. For those who have new life in Christ, that's our story. And this man is actually a picture of that. The beggar's life-altering encounter is a picture of our life-altering encounter. It's not an accident that God chose this first miracle in the book of Acts that he would record, that we would get to see it. It's a picture of what? It's a picture of us. Now, you're not the guy in the story, okay? We don't want to do that. There was a real man who'd been crippled for 40 years, who gained physical health and put his faith in Jesus. It was a miraculous event. But it's a picture that we came before God helpless. We were utterly impossible to enter into his presence on our own. We were utterly helpless to help give ourselves life. But God did what? He reached down and breathed life into us. Why? Because faith leads to life. This man says, okay, let's go. Now, Peter continues on and he connects the dots of this man and what they've just seen Jesus do to their story. And now, brothers, I know that you acted in ignorance, as did also your rulers. But what God foretold by the mouth of all the prophets that his Christ would suffer, thus he fulfilled. Repent, therefore, and turn back, that your sins may be blotted out, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, and that he may send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. I want you to go back. If you highlight and you write, underline this phrase, repent, Turn back that your sins may be blotted out, that refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord, okay? And that he may send the Christ appointed for you. That's what the message was to the nation of Israel, and that's the same message that's for you and I. That's what it looks like for us to turn from the old normal to the new normal. He goes on to say, hey, God told you this message by his messengers a long time ago. It says, Moses said, the Lord God will raise up for you a prophet like me from your brothers. You shall listen to him in whatever he tells you. And it shall be that every soul who does not listen to that prophet shall be destroyed from the people. And all the prophets who have spoken from Samuel and those who came after him also proclaimed these days. You are the sons of the prophets and of the covenant that God made with your father, saying to Abraham, and in your offspring shall all the families of the earth be blessed. God, having raised up his servant, sent him to you first to bless you by turning every one of you from your wickedness. God sent Jesus to do what? To take the old story and make it new, to take you from death to life. And here's how it's going to go. You're going to repent. That just means, he basically says, turn back, turn back. You're going to repent and turn back. Repent, go in a different direction, change your mind, go in a different trajectory, and in order that what? That your sin may be forgiven, may be blotted out, that it's canceled. And then what happens? That God's presence may be given to you and that Jesus would return someday and you will be a person blessed by God, which was always God's original plan. Takes him back to Genesis chapter 12, verse 3. God's plan was always that you would be blessed by God. When God gave the promise to Abraham that you would be a blessing, that you would be a blessing to all people, we're part of that faith legacy. That's part of our story, and he connects it to the children of Israel. So as we read through the book of Acts, here's the thing that we need to remember. The book of Acts tells the story of what it looks like in the days after Jesus' resurrection for his followers to move from following Jesus in the physical reality to following him in the power of the Holy Spirit. The thing that's different about the Gospels, the things that maybe is even hard for us to relate to the Gospels and following Jesus is, in the Gospels, the followers there were following a real physical Jesus. And we often think, okay, that would have been far simpler. And maybe in some ways, I'm going to acknowledge maybe it would have. But Jesus said, that's not best. It's better for you that I give you the Holy Spirit. Why? Because 24/7, the Spirit is with you. And now, here's the thing that we have in common with the book of Acts, is that it's a picture of what it looks like to follow Jesus in the days in which he's been resurrected and ascended to the Father, that he's no longer walking the earth in a physical kind of way, that it's now through the power of the Spirit that his followers have to follow him. And so we have something in common with these guys now. We're experiencing the same thing that they experienced now, even though it may look different, even though it might not be identical, even though you're like, well, I've never reached down and grabbed somebody and pulled them to their feet and watched this miracle happen. Yeah, that may be true. That's something Peter got to do. That's something John got to do. But that doesn't mean that your story isn't compelling. Our story is this: turn to Jesus and be forgiven, receiving the presence of the Holy Spirit today and Jesus' physical presence someday. Or not. That's the decision. That's where we come to, is we have to make a decision. We're either going to follow Jesus or not. We can either turn to Jesus and be forgiven, get new life in his name, or not. And for some of you out there, you've not made that decision. Who do you say that he is? Who do you say that Jesus is? Well, he's a good guy. Jesus is, well, he was a good moral teacher. Well, you probably haven't really been following along. You probably don't know Jesus' story. If that's all you think Jesus is, you don't know Jesus. You don't really know about him. Because why? Peter says, he's the one God promised all along. He's the one who's going to give life. He's the one who's going to change your life. He's the way that you're going to be blessed by God. You cannot possibly be blessed by God except through Jesus. That's it. That's the way that you receive God's blessing. That's how you move from death to life. And that's how you move from the old normal to the new normal. And that's how your life becomes altered by Jesus. And that takes us to a hard question, right? A question I think we all need to wrestle with, which is, has Jesus altered your life? As you look at your life, has there been an alteration in your priorities? Has there been an alteration in the things that you give yourself to? Have your guiding principles or values been changed over time? Because that's what it looks like to encounter Jesus. And as we think about our story and telling our story, often what happens is we reduce it to our salvation story. And I often say 8 years old because that's my salvation story. I was 8 years old at church camp, gave my life to Jesus. It's a little bit longer than that, but that's what happened. I knew I needed a savior, gave my life to Jesus, was baptized. I grew up from there knowing who Jesus was, but then really my story began. That was just a spark, a moment in time that led to my story. And my story is a prodigal story. My story is doing my own thing from being a teenager until I was in my early 30s. Man, I was on my program. It was working great until it didn't. We need to remember that the gospel is not only that Jesus saves, but also that Jesus transforms. I know that's an oversimplification. I get that. But if you keep that in your mind, I do believe that will help you set a North Star in your world that would remind yourself, my story isn't just Jesus saved me, it's that he's changing me. He's altered the course of my life. I'm no longer who I was. I may not be who I wanna be. I know that's my story. I am not who I wanna be. But I'm not who I was. Jesus has me on a change trajectory. And so, has Jesus altered your life? And what is your ongoing story? Not just what Jesus did way back then, back in the day, and hey, I was saved and baptized, whatever my story. No. Like, what's he done like today, this morning, yesterday, last week? Where have you seen him at work in you? And often what happens is growth in Christ, the transformation is so subtle over time that we begin to discount it. It's like, that didn't really count. Was that really transformation? Is that really the way this went? Is it really, did God really do that? Is he really doing that in me? And I would say it's kind of like this. It's kind of like looking at an eighth grade boy. And then you see him when? All of a sudden he's a freshman and you don't recognize him. You're like, who are you? And the parents are like, well, yeah, he's grown 6 inches. But you don't really see it. It just happens. Even as rapid as that happens, you don't really see it. But if I think of one person in particular, I remember seeing him. He was like in seventh and eighth grade. And he was this little kid. And all of a sudden he's like a grown man. And a year later, I'm like, wow, I guess I haven't seen you lately. COVID will do that. I haven't seen you lately. You went from being a boy to a man in an instant. That's kind of our growth story. The ongoing work of Jesus in our life that we discount, that we're like, I don't know that that's really, is that really something that I should be talking about? Is that really something that is miraculous? Is that really something that God is up to? Is that really something that he's at work doing? I talk a lot about my inability to handle poor customer service. I struggle with poor customer service. Your job, they're paying you to be a nice person. Novel concept, I know, wow. They're paying you money. You know your company's paying you money right now to be nice to me. So I have this burning within me, this deep value that people would be, and I've shared this before, right? I know, I'm working my way through it, and here's my transformation story. God's changing me. So this happened to me this spring. I have a life insurance policy, pay it annually. My payment goes off automatically out of my bank account. I think I've paid for my bill, and all of a sudden I get notification that I'm delinquent on my payment. You're behind on your payment. Can't possibly be. I saw that money go out of my account. I know that payment happened. Can't possibly be true, and so I looked in my account, and here's what I noticed. They had sent the money back to me. I sent them the money. They sent it back to me. How could this possibly be? So I call, and the woman who helped me that time on the phone, incredibly nice, super nice to me, she goes, yeah, we did a system change. And so what's happened is there's actually a lot of people that the payment went back because you don't have the right policy number on there. You have this other number on there, and so that it came back to you. And I'm like, take my money, right? Like, why'd you send it back? Just keep my money. You knew it was me. And she goes, yeah, it's a system problem. We sent it back to you. I said, okay, I'll fix it. So I thought that as I went into my bank online payment system, that I had made the payment, okay? Because if I do it on my phone, super simple, one click, it goes. But if I do it on my computer, I have to click twice. And sometimes I forget to click twice. I know some of you have experienced this. You thought you paid the bill and you're like, it can't be. They made me click again. I forgot to click again. And so I looked a couple weeks ago. I got a letter and here's what happened. They said, we've now canceled your policy. Can't be. I paid you. And when I looked, I hadn't paid them. So now I call back. Hey, the first time I'm saying that's on you. Second time, that's on me. Can we just come to an agreement that I'll just send you the payment and it's all good? And that time, she wasn't so nice. And before I got on the phone with her, I decided this. God, I don't want to be rude to her. I can let, you know, who I am get in the way. And I just want to be kind. But God, I'm fairly committed to this reality that if they don't want my money, I don't want to give it to them. Like, if they don't really want me to be a customer, it's not a lot of money. It's not much. It's not a big policy. But if they don't want it, I'm just going to step up. Are you good at that? I felt like he was like, okay, that's good. That's fine. Just be nice. Be kind. So I was. And I said, ma'am, can you help me understand? Like, what do I have to do? And she said, you have to fill out some paperwork. It's 3 pages. We'll send it to you, and then we'll file. I'm like, whoa, 3 pages. Yeah, the first time was, this last time, I didn't pay you. That's on me. But the first time, like, you sent the money back. I paid you in February. And now you're canceling my policy. Yeah, we have to do this. 3 pages, whatever. I'm like, you know what? I'm good. I'll look for a different policy. It's good. I'm good. She gets mad at me. I'm like, your customer service. Why are you mad at me? Why are you mad at me? I just said, no, we're good. I'm good. I'll just look for a different company. I'll just get a different policy. It's no problem. We're good. She got more angry at me. I'm like, no, we're good. We're good. So finally that we resolved that and we agreed to disagree and I hung up and I felt like, okay, that's good. Well, here's what I'm going to do now. I'm going to get a different policy. But I had forgotten what a pain that is. I call my insurance lady. Yeah, no problem. And you have to do this and this and this. It made 3 pages sound like a cakewalk because now I got somebody coming to my house, sticking me in my arm. I got this big bruise. She didn't know what she was doing. I did all the stuff. And now I'm like, you know what? I even had to pee in the cup, all of it. And now I'm going, boy, that was really dumb. It made 3 pages sound like a cakewalk. And so she left the house, and literally, you can be like, this is a stupid illustration. That's fine. She literally left the house, and this is the thought. You should call back on that other policy. And it might just be me, you know, right? Like, I'd already paid for the other one. I had the physical. All the hard stuff was done. But that was the thought that crossed my mind. I didn't want to do it, but I did. And I got a woman on the phone, and her name was Gifty. Gift with a Y. And she was the nicest human being I've ever spoken to on the phone. I was like, who are you? Your name says it all. You are a gift. She said to me this. She said, hey, so tell me what happened. I said, okay, back in February, I sent you payment. You sent it back to me. And then I didn't pay the second time. I forgot to double click and hit my submission. I did it right when I got off the phone with the lady, but obviously it didn't go through. And so, you know, she said to me, hey, that's no problem. We'll fix it. What? you're going to fix it. I said, yeah, that's why I'm calling. I need the 3 pages document for me to fill out and fix it. She goes, oh, no, we can fix it. You don't need 3 pages. I'll just send a note to my supervisor. He'll approve it, tomorrow. It'll be no problem. And tomorrow you can make payment. You can't make payment today. The system has to process it. So if you'll call back tomorrow, make payment. It's no problem. It's done. What? Who are you? And I was like, she's the nicest. I mean, it was like she was going out of her way. I'm like, no, let's do it the hard way. She goes, no, let's do it the easy way. No, let's do it the hard way. They told me it'd be the hard way. No, I'll fix it for you. And in that moment, here's the thing, right? I felt like God was saying, like, you're not who you were. Because I had done a couple things a little different. It used to be I would just pick up the phone. I'll get to them what's going on, man. But I'm like, you know what? God was leading me. God was guiding me. He was like, you can't take the same old approach. You got to take a different path. You have to go a different way. If you decide beforehand how this conversation is going to go, when it goes sideways, you won't go sideways with it. I didn't have that nagging sense of guilt. Like, I get off the phone. I'm like, I'm a terrible Christian. I'm a horrible human being. I didn't have that. I was like, I'm good. But in the midst of all of that, God brought redemption to it. And I was like, wow. And then I learned something that doesn't have anything to do with this week. It really is true. Call back. If somebody won't help you, hang up the phone, wait a couple minutes, call back. Somebody will along the way. Telling how Jesus has changed our normal is actually giving God glory. And I know my illustration was silly, but at the end of it, it's like, okay, not just, okay, he did this when I was 8. This is what he did in the last week of my life. He's showing me, like, he's growing me, he's growing me, he's growing me. And I'm not who I want to be, but I'm not who I was. And the same is true for you. Your story is worth telling. Hey, a few years ago, I had an illustration. Hoka 1-1, what is it? Life-changing. Okay? If you're really into them, you know that I just said the name wrong. It's actually Hoka One One, and they will change your life. In fact, I talked about the Hoka One One, and some of you went out and bought them. They went out and bought them. Life-changing kind of shoe. Why? Because it's life-changing. It changed. It took me from being a non-runner to a runner because it's got all this cushion and it feels like you're running on a cloud. It is amazing. And man, I would tell everybody I knew, you got to try this shoe, including a friend of mine who's been running the same shoes for 20 years. Doesn't matter if they're good shoes, bad shoes. He's running in those shoes. I'd be like, these will change your life. He's like, yeah, you're getting in the way. I don't want anything to do with that. And I'm like, okay, you should wear these shoes. They'll change your life. Well, the thing that happened after I used that illustration, this isn't actually the shoe I used for that illustration, because 2 weeks later, I sent those shoes back to the manufacturer. I returned those shoes. Those shoes weren't as life-changing as I wanted them to be, and I found a different shoe, Topo Athletic. This shoe will change your life. This shoe gets better over time. Yeah, it's real hard when you wear it. And you're thinking, I'm not sure I like this shoe. But they give you a 30-day free trial, and you can send them back if you don't like them. And what they do over time is they start to break in. This shoe gets more comfortable every time you wear it. Hoka One One, it wears out in no time. This thing lasts forever. You have to buy fewer, and they're cheaper. This shoe will change your life. Okay, it's not about the shoe. Okay, you don't even need to come ask me about the shoe, anything. It's not about the shoe. I had to say that again today because last night they thought it was about the shoe. You see, when I believe in something, I talk about it. When I believe in something, I tell the story. When I feel like something has changed my life, I'm going to tell you. And when people drive by and they look at my yard, they're like, wow, your yard looks amazing. Like, how'd that happen? I don't think, oh, hey, my lawn company will give me $50 if I refer to you. I'm just like, hey, I'm going to tell you, you two for a price. You can do anything for money, right? If you're for a price, your lawn can look green too. Let me tell you about them, because I had a really bad company who I felt like was spraying weeds on my yard. But this company, they're amazing, and they're locally owned. It'll change your yard, which will change your life, because I actually hate mowing the yard. I hate it. People who see my yard, they're like, wow, that's surprising. You mow it 3 times a week because it grows so fast and I hate having to bag my yard. I hate it. I hate mowing my yard But you know what's worse than mowing grass? Mowing weeds. Mowing weeds. Mowing weeds is worse than mowing grass. That's worse. That's infuriating. That just makes you mad. And so if you look at the things that I like the least in my life, it's mowing weeds, then bagging my lawn, and then mowing grass. And so if somebody says, I'll be like, yeah, I'll tell you all about that, right? I'm excited about it. Why? Because that company did a transformation of my lawn. Why do I talk about it? Because it's something I believe in. It's something that has changed the trajectory in my life. I now get to mow my yard 3 days a week. If you've encountered Jesus, it's a story worth telling. If you've encountered Jesus and he's changed the trajectory of your life, you're going to tell other people and you're not going to discount it, saying, oh, my story wasn't as profound as this guy's story. No, it's something that you're going to talk about. So this week, as we step into this week, we talk about reading the scriptures. Why do we do that? Why are we encouraging you to read through Acts chapter 4 and 5 this week? Why? What would that have to do with anything? Well, we can't be people who are dependent upon God's word if we're not taking in God's word. If you're just going from weekend to weekend, hoping that you grab a nugget out of the weekend, there's more for you. And there's more for you through the power of the Spirit as you engage the pages of scripture. But then there's two questions. And the first one is, Jesus, how do you want to change my normal? And that's really for this. It's really for people who are in two places. One is you've never accepted forgiveness that comes through Christ. You don't have new life. You're living in the old normal. And the other one is the person who's like, I prayed to receive Jesus once, but I've never done anything with it. What's it look like for you to embrace it? What's it look like for Jesus to step in and alter the trajectory of your life? And then for all of us, who can I pray for? Jesus, who can I pray for that needs you to change their normal? Who needs life? Who is far from God? Who needs to be reconciled from God? Who can I pray for? Just one name, and not just this week. This is going to be ongoing as we go through the book of Acts. What does it look like for me to pray for someone? Maybe there's a whole group of people. Maybe God will give you 10. I don't know. But to ask God to give you one person that you can pray for. As we go through the rest of this year, as we go through the book of Acts, God, give me one name that I can pray for that needs you to take them from the old normal to the new normal, that needs you to take them from death to life. God, show me how I can intercede on their behalf. And then the last thing is we have a section that's part of our notes. It's called Live It Out Together. We use them in groups. We also would encourage you to use it in your family, use it personally, and not just that you would have a discussion, but then you'd move that discussion to, okay, so what am I going to do with this? How am I going to put this into my life? How am I going to take this conversation that I've had with people about what it looks like to follow Jesus and to share my story about him changing my life? What does it look like for me to move that from conversation to action? To allow people to speak into your world. Allow people to encourage you along the way. And then finally, it's not on your sheet, but we're going to open the baptismal pool, right? The baptism, we're turning it back on. We're going to open that bad boy up. We're now stepping into that phase in the life of our church. We thought it was a bad idea to baptize people with a mask on. That sounded a lot like waterboarding. So that's a bad idea. Just saying, bad idea. But now that we're not doing that. And so we want to encourage you that if Jesus has given you life and you've not declared it, And proclaimed it through baptism, through being submersed under the water, being submerged under the water and raising up as a symbol of what God has done in your life. I want to encourage you, reach out. Reach out this week. 2 weeks from now, we're doing baptism. We would love for you to be part of that. If it's something you did as a kid, that's apples, this is oranges, okay? As a baby. If it's something you did as a kid and you don't really understand what happened, I'm just going to ask that you would ask the Holy Spirit, show me if that's something you're asking me to do. But in this moment, what we're going to do is we're going to worship. Because we, among all people, have a reason to worship. If we've encountered the life-changing Jesus, we have a reason to praise him. So I'm going to invite you to stand, all of our venues, all of our campuses. Pray with me. Father, we're grateful. We're grateful that you have given us a reason to tell your story. And so in these moments, would you remind us of who you are? Would you inspire our worship? We ask in Jesus' name, amen.